the great son of Israel Abel, Deacon Israel Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is 2016 the year when the beastly government will end and Yahweh's saints will take over? If you look over to Daniel chapter 7, and look at verse 25. And it says, "And he will speak great words against Yahweh." This is found on page 679. "And he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out, mentally attack, to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days, and laws. And they will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." And now this here is speaking of the beastly government. Let's look up to verse 19 of Daniel chapter 7, and it says, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his claws of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other horn which came up, before whom 3 fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout, more mighty and imposing than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of Yahweh, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdoms. This is what he said, 'The fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which will be different from all other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth, and will tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that will arise, and another will rise after them, and he will be different from the first ones, and he will subdue 3 kings. And he will speak great words against Yahweh, and will wear out, mentally attack, to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days, and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." And also verse 26 here, "But the judgment will sit, and they will take away his government to consume and to destroy it completely." And this is talking about the judgment of Yahweh. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and it says, "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So Yahweh is giving authority here. Remember what he said, "I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership." And back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, remember it said it will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And then in verse 26, the judgment will sit, and they will take away his government. Well, who is this "they" that it is speaking of here? Well, this is the kingdom of Yahweh will take away his government. And this is also talking about the great burning in Revelation chapter 18. If you'll turn over to Revelation chapter 18 with me, and look at verse 10. Now, this is found on page 982 of the Book of Yahweh. And it says, verse 10 here, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." Now, get that, 1 hour. Look over to verse 17. "For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. And every sea captain and all the company in ships, the sailors and all who earned their living from the sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like this great city? Verse 19, and they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. 1 hour. If I can get my video.
Theodore Postol, former advisor to the U.S. Chief of Naval Operations, MIT professor and nuclear technology expert. So, Ted, President Obama came into the White House calling for a global zero. Now, there are plans to spend $1 trillion on an overhaul of an entire U.S. nuclear arsenal. Why is this happening?
Well, I think this is a consequence of domestic politics.
Now, do you believe the U.S. is readying its nuclear forces for direct confrontation with Russia? Do you think nuclear war is possible now? At any scenario, do you see that?
I do think that an accidental nuclear war between the United States and Russia is possible.
What happens hypothetically if there is a nuclear war? Will a doctrine like the mutually assured destruction doctrine ever work again?
Somebody makes a bad decision with incomplete information, which is almost certainly what happens in the real world. Information's never complete. You could have a massive use of nuclear weapons, and that, of course, would end civilization as we know it.
Now, Ted, tell me something. Explain to an amateur, to me, how does one launch a nuclear weapon? Is it as easy as pressing a button? How long does it take for a nuclear missile to reach its target?
The ballistic missile would be could be fired in basically within 50 or 60 seconds, more or less, of an alert being given to the operators. The rocket would then ignite, and then it would release warheads. The warheads would float in the near vacuum of space under the influence of gravity and momentum, and in about 20 to 25 or 28 minutes would arrive at their targets, re-enter the atmosphere, and explode. So the world could be basically finished off in anywhere from a half hour to an hour, from a half hour to an hour, from a half hour to an hour upon the arrival of these warheads.
The bombs that Russia and U.S. have in their arsenal right now, they're 100 times more powerful than the ones that were used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How devastating would the aftermath of a nuclear explosion be today?
They're more than hundreds of times more powerful. A typical warhead from a Russian missile, like what we call the SS-18, one of those warheads, this rocket can carry up to 10 warheads. One of these warheads detonated over New York City, for example, one, would essentially destroy all of Manhattan, most of Staten Island, probably all of it, basically, large parts of New Jersey to the west, basically the borough of Brooklyn and large part, most of Queens and the Bronx, out to a range of maybe anywhere from, I'd say, 10 kilometers range from the central area where it exploded. If you had a similar warhead from the U.S. over Moscow, it would destroy, again, most of the city. It would, destroy 150 square kilometers of the city easily. And that's only one warhead. There would be many warheads targeted on each of these great cities by the other side.
Is it even possible to win a nuclear war? Is there such thing as winning a nuclear war?
Of course, it's not possible to win a nuclear war. So it's a dangerous double-edged sword.
Did you get that? 1 hour. Remember what it said here in Revelations chapter 18, verses 10, 17, and also verse 19. Now, how could anyone have foretold that? You know, Yahweh alone can foretell the future events, and this was written way before the nuclear bomb was even invented. And this is the taking away of the governments of Satan, and they will be given to the saints of Yahweh. If you'll turn back to Daniel chapter 7, And look at verse 27. And it says, then the kingdoms and governments, this is page 679, then the kingdoms and governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. So it's given to the saints of Yahweh. And this is the fulfillment of Genesis 1, verse 26. Remember, he said he will give authority, but only to those who are made in his image, only to those who keep his laws, who are in Yahweh's image, and who partake of the righteous tree. If you remember Revelations chapter 22, verses 12 through 15, and verse 14 said, blessed are those who keep his laws. So he will give mankind authority, but only those who are in Yahweh's image. And this will take place in this generation, as I'm about to show you. If you'll turn over to Matithiah chapter 24, found on page 752, and look at verse 3. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the ages? So it's this generation. This generation started in 1934 with the birth of Yisrael Hawkins. And also remember, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 talked about how the knowledge will be increased. Also the computer. I have some articles here. The first one, it's entitled The Evolution of the Modern Computer, 1934 to 1950, an open source graphical history. For the record, I believe that the Manchester MKI prototype was the first computer in a modern sense, but the text file is not intended to prove this or any other machine was first. It is only intended to record the known dates and influences for computing machines designed between 1934 and 1950. Leo Szilard patenting the atomic bomb, 1934. Hungarian physicist Leo Szilard was the first person to conceive of the nuclear chain reaction and the atomic bomb. He was noted for his contributions to the fields of thermodynamics, biophysics, nuclear physics, and the development of atomic energy. And also Leo Szilard nuclear chain reaction patent on July 4th, 1934. There it is again, 1934. Leo Szilard filed the first patent application for the method of producing a nuclear chain reaction, aka nuclear explosion. His British patent included a description of a neutron induced chain reactions to create explosions and the concept of critical mass. The patent was given to the British War Office as part of the nuclear war effort, nuclearweaponarchive.org. So Daniel was shown this generation, which started in 1934. The prophet Daniel said, in the time of the end, the greatest time of trouble would be seen and knowledge would be increased. If you'll turn over to Daniel 12, and I want to start with verse 1. I'm going to read it out of one of the recent prophetic words here, the proper translation. And at that time, one who is like Yahweh will stand up at Abel. Yisrael, the great priest who stands at Abel to teach Yahweh's just, perfect laws to the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found written in the book of life. And look over to verse 4. It says, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. So as I mentioned, the computer and also the nuclear bomb were invented in this time period, which started in 1934. So this was the start of the nuclear bomb being invented. The things that have started sin, and also the ability to spread sin, was also started, like the television. And we are in the very end of this generation. A generation is 70 years. If you'll turn over to Psalms, chapter 90, Psalms 90, verse 10, and it says, the days of our lives are 70 years. They are 80 years if we have the strength. Yet our strength, our best years are troubled and sorrowful, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And remember Yahweh's plan in Yochanan chapter 1. Why don't we go there? Yochanan chapter 1. And look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it, and without it, nothing was done that was done. And this plan was life, and that life was the light to mankind. Now that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take hold of it. So verse 3, all things were done according to it. And remember Genesis verse 120, or chapter 1, verse 26. Those made in his image and his likeness, that's who this will be given to. Back to Matithiah chapter 24. And look at verse 29. It says, immediately but after the tribulation of those days will the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So the greatest time of trouble, and this started in and around the great river Euphrates. Look over to verse 7 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. So you see there the wars, the diseases. And look to verse 21. It says, for then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever will be. Again, the greatest time of trouble. And look at verse 33. It says, in the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming and the end of the age is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. And that is this generation, brethren, this generation that the computer was invented, the nuclear bomb was invented, as I just showed you. The bombs that will darken the sun were all invented in this generation. We are in this generation. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Khan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, as the great deacon just spoke, as Yahshua said in Matthew 24, we see these famines, the diseases, the earthquakes. We see them taking all around the world. They're taking place from Japan to recently Ecuador suffered a 7.8. And remember what they said about these earthquakes. You see the initial earthquake, but these aftershocks can literally last for months. Weeks up to months. So to take all of these earthquakes that have occurred, and of course Oklahoma being north of us, they have more earthquakes in the United States than any other state in the United States right now. And remember how these things are lasting for months, and you get 7, 8, 10, 20, 30, 1,000 earthquakes taking place, and then they're months long. Well, that's what we're seeing in our world today. And then consider Houston, the fourth largest city in the United States, a very profitable city. Remember, there's a lot of oil refinery and so forth. But look how quickly it is shut down from historic floods actually consuming the city, a fourth largest city and the chief nation of all nations. Of course, there is no protection in Houston. This is the protected place. And they're suffering, and without a moment's notice. Life changes very quickly. And then Flint, Michigan, if you remember, we brought much news about the lead that was in the city water supply. Watch how the city is dealing with this, and then remember climate change. Don't let that leave your mind. But in Flint, Michigan, of course, now they're going to do something about all this water. They're going to start arresting the city officials, and they're going to put them in jail now. But go ahead and drink the water. And they're going to try to convince you that this fixes the water pipes. Just like the lady we talked about last week, the young lady that was cut into pieces. Of course, they arrested him and put him in jail. That should keep everyone else safe, right? Well, absolutely not. It's not going to fix anything. They're not addressing the cause of the problem. And then we look at our youth, and we look at what's taking place with our youth, and then we see what's going on out in the world. And there's an article that came out this last week about how many fights are taking place at youth sporting events, such as basketball, baseball, football. These things are supposed to be character building, if you remember, for our youth. Well, they're going out there, and lo and behold, they can't keep the parents from fighting in the stands, on the fields. They're coming literally out into the baseball fields and so forth, fighting in front of the children and beating each other, arguing. And remember, they're teaching by example. And there's no wonder where we look into Delaware this last week, where a young girl was beat to death at school. She got into a fight with two other girls jumping her in Delaware, and she hits her head on a sink and dies. And you're literally going to see them performing CPR on this girl as they're wheeling her out to a helicopter. Now, these things are supposed to be innocent. You're supposed to, you know, fight these things out in society, but that's not going to work. War never works. And then remember this transgender issue they're having in a lot of the states here in the United States of America. Well, someone went to another prestigious college. We won't mention its name, but a prestigious college where the higher learnings go so they can tell us how to better ourselves. They're being educated themselves. And watch how they cannot even admit to a very common basic truth. Even if it's standing in front of them, they don't want to say anything that is not considered politically incorrect. If you say you're a woman, then I guess you're a woman. Even though you're a guy, I will say you're a woman. But watch how foolish this is, because Yahweh says you can't do this. It's iniquity. It's trying to justify why it's okay to do what they're doing. And then, of course, rabbis this last week, I'm sure all of those who are following this are joyful, because rabbis have said for Passover, remember rabbis, that's not the house of Yahweh, it's not the priest of Yahweh. Let us not be found in their council, remember. But they have said now that marijuana is kosher for Passover. Yes. So don't rise anything, but you can get high. Keep moving. But now remember this, because they're just following the Vatican. Of course, they're part of the Vatican. You can call them whatever you want to. A Pharisee, Sadducee, Essene, or Herodian. They're still Catholic. They're universal in what they're doing. And then we look to the Middle East, which, of course, there's continual war. And Syria this week has said that they're going to take back the Golan Heights. Syria saying this to Israel by any means necessary. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is saying we will not give it back. So now you have this tit for tat. It's a continual tit for tat. But this energy is growing. This energy of this war, this hatred is growing. And then recently coming out where the United States, you look to Africa and you see these young boys in some of these what they call third world countries carrying machine guns at very young ages. And it looks very devastating, of course. But these machine gun carrying young men are being bought by the United States Army because they're being trained and they're being brought into the United States Army. And that's where they're being used. And then in the news, I want to warn you, but I don't want you to turn your heads, because this is a harsh reality of what takes place when you use dipping tobacco or other kinds of sources of that nature and stick it in your mouth. Watch what the man says who has to have his jaw removed and the bottom part of his face is gone. And then watch the man as they remove bandages and he has mouth cancer. Yes, not just from HPV, but from other things. And they remove it and look at the rotten flesh. See what sin brings. See sin for what it is, so we will never, ever sin again. Praise Yahweh. And then getting to the climate change. This is where, you know, the Vatican has pushed. Pope Francis said when he was in the United States that he thought that these decisions in Paris, which he was talking about the climate change meeting, they would make a huge difference. And they're pushing, they're trying to save the world is what they said. They're trying to save you from yourself because you're going to kill you yourself. You know, remember what Pastor said. They've always said, you know, we're going to save you, so we'll come in and kill you before you kill yourself. Well, this push that they're doing, watch very carefully. They're actually being able to put a stranglehold on every country's economy, on every business, on everything, because these are the rules that everyone's signing up with at the UN. And this is the largest group of countries they have ever brought together to sign an agreement. They don't realize they're signing their own death warrant because this agreement is going to be, well, these are our rules, and if you step outside of these rules, well, we're going to come and shut you down. And the Volkswagen company has recently seen this, where their climate, you know, they're supposed to have these emission controls. They're already at $9 billion in fines, all because someone says that they're doing something that technically is wrong. So watch very carefully how it's bringing into control, using scapegoats, and fixing no problems whatsoever. And of course, it all starts with this confusion of the mind. If we could go ahead and play the news. This time, if everybody would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great guy in Israel, Abel Hawkins.
Wow. Surprised y'all can still make racket today. Oh, look what a beautiful crowd, Yahweh. Look at that. Okay. Praise Yahweh. They're all yours. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh, what is this? May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I guess you've shown that. My monitor's out, so I didn't get to see it. Wow, and in green, emerald green. Prophetic word. Bring the light. Oh, bring the light. How about that? I didn't even mention that, but that's what I was going to speak on today. That's beautiful. That shows you God. Yahweh's guiding everything. Full control, 100%. That's the way I want it forever. Mankind is simply not capable. He's just not capable of guiding a small kingdom. Most of the time, not even a family. It's amazing how insignificant we are at this time. And Yahweh has the greatest future of any. Let me get this first. 175 states signed landmark Paris deal on climate change. This is, they don't realize what they have signed, I know. And most of the time when they sign things like this, they sign a 5 or 10 page contract that refers to 32 books or 32 volumes or 40 volumes of written laws that they have to walk by or give up their whole nation. And by doing this, you know, it says, the signing set a record for international diplomacy. Never have so many countries signed on an agreement on the first available day. Now, that should show anyone with a brain, you know, that Revelation 17, that says, come and I'll show you this great whore that brings forth sin to the earth. They are the leaders of the kings of the earth. 100%. And we're going to change that. This article here shows the rabbis are actually cooks for the Vatican. A lot of other things for them too. Let's see. The change is coming. Israel Hawkins says he's taking on evil full force and new tell-all publication. That's in Times Square. We got another one here that's that gives a wider view and a longer view there at the bottom, and a bus, a double-decker bus with the glass on top and the people looking at the sign, reading the sign. It's hard to see all the people there, but there's, I would say, 50 to 100 people in front of that thing right now. This is in response to an article that is tops on Google. Now, last week I read this article to you. It says about 3,600,000 results in 0.44 seconds. And Yisrael Hawkins is top offering the best article. Let me get you a close-up there. Offering the best information on the subject. They got some others offering information. Someone asked me, had I looked up the number 44? And I said, no. And they said, you know, the house of Yahweh is built on the 44. We've always called it the 44 because there's 44 acres. And so I said, this would be then 4444. So I looked up 44. Then I was so amazed I couldn't believe it. I did believe it. It actually means Malach Yahshua. Malach Yahshua. And you need to look up 4444 also. That's amazing. Yesterday evening when I came in, the great doctor of music, he's also a deacon in the house, Michael Osso. He, praise Yahweh, I know you heard of this galaxy by now, this new galaxy that they found. I read a little on it yesterday. They said it wasn't here yesterday. It just appeared overnight. It's a mystery galaxy. And they went to trying to explain it, but their explanation was of no use, I don't think. But anyway, he looked it up. The number they gave it, it's a Bible Strong's Hebrew number 415. And of course, you would need to study a little bit about the history of the house of Yahweh, the genealogy records, and how the names were changed. If your name was Russell and you didn't change, it was originally Rush-Yah. And if you didn't change it and take, either put an L on the end of it or take the Y-A-H off of it, you were dead. They would not allow you with that name. And if you revealed your name and didn't change it, they would kill you. And this went on for thousands of years. It was true even in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, who they told, and Yahweh gave us that information to show how much his name was hated. That hatred has come down to us. And of course, that's the reason we have Bibles today that are renditions of the book of Yahweh. They're not translations, but they just rendered some. They left verses out that was problematic, and others they falsified. And I read you just before, maybe it was Yahshua's memorial, I can't remember, how the commentators, they know this, people who know the languages, but this word that is actually El Elohi, El Elohi. Well, of course, that was originally spelled in English Y-I-S-R-A-Y-L. And that's what he traced back here yesterday and wanted to present it to me. That galaxy is actually named Israel. And the meaning now is the Mighty One of Israel. Mighty One or Mighty Power, Mighty Strength of Israel. Let me see, did I go? I think I skipped something I wanted to show you here. This article, Yisrael Hawkins says he's taken on evil full force, and that is climbing like crazy. This has a potential audience of 87 million, and with the news media that they show here, and each one of these are up in the millions of readers that they show. They are large news companies that are running this article. The one the week before, see, that one in that week was 102,000. It's now up to, let's see, maybe I'll get it on the next page. The other article, Yisrael Hawkins says a gathering will take place that will exceed Moshe, or I called it Moses, to get so they'd know who I was talking about, and the Exodus in new article. That one is up to 380,000 now, 115. And still climbing. That's a couple of weeks old. And this one, you would have thought it wouldn't have been, but Yisrael Hawkins uses Bible to explain how hatred tears down a person's body in new post. And that one is up to 272,984. History of the Bible. Yisrael Hawkins, the history of the Bible. A pastor of the House of Yahweh expounds on how the Holy Scriptures came into existence, why they went away for a prophesied time period, and why they're necessary today. And that was that one is also the tops on. There's others out there like this, similar to it, but we are the head of all of them. In information, Yisrael Hawkins explains the history of the Bible and why not knowing the information matters today. That started off with 106,000, and that's on today, I do believe. I believe that's the one that's running in all the newspapers today. Anyway, we're taking Babylon down. Praise Yahweh. I'm a little sluggish today, I wrote here, because I ate about a half a buffalo last night. I don't know if y'all knew what you were eating last night or not. I was told that there's more talk about how wonderful last night was than any other night. And the children was the highlight of why is this night different from all other nights? They made a difference, a big difference. I was just thinking when I was hearing the great deacon, who they would be calling in the world doctor of divinity. Ours is the doctor of the scriptures. When I was hearing him speak a while ago, Yisrael Abil, and the excellent job he was doing on that prophecy. And I'm crying with joy. I remember years ago I was impressed with a man. They called him, I don't know how many of you know him, but his name was Dr. Herman L. Hay. And I was impressed with him and his speaking. And this reminded me of him, but when I was hearing this morning, but Yisrael Abil's was so much more accurate, and they used... helps to back yourself up and the speaking. So Herman L. Hay would have not compared. He would have been a little bit slack with our boys. Of course, Herman L. Hay was in his late 30s, I think. He had had a lot of practice, but he's still falling short of what the boys are here. Tomorrow, 4:24, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program all day. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is great if you choose to live, and it's also great if you choose to live by it, because otherwise you won't live. If you choose to live by it as the light of life, light to life. If you remember what my words here now, I'm going to show you how Yeshua is the light and what he meant. It's guarded by Yeshua. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is actually guarded by Yeshua, our high priest, right now. It's being guarded by him to see that it doesn't change. It's not that no Satan worshipers can creep in and start changing this peaceful solution. And we recommend to all the schools that are taking this now that you do not change it and don't let the teachers change this, because you'll weaken it if you do. And if you know anything about the Holy Scriptures and the laws of Yahweh and what is taught by the apostles, one of the apostles actually said that they weakened the law when they changed it. And Yeshua showed they brought forth a watered-down version of Yahweh's laws, changing the laws to fit their traditions, which they claim was handed down to them by Moshe. Well, the Savior says in his own writings, and I'll show you that hopefully today, that this is only the written word, only the written word by Yahweh's inspired prophets, which are ones that can foretell the future, can prophesy, and the prophecies came to pass. They proved themselves to Yahweh in righteousness, and Yahweh gave them that power. Greater powers than that are granted to you if you live by this peaceful solution, if you choose to live by it. You got to choose it yourself. You got to choose to live by it and praise Yahweh for it. It's guarded by Yeshua. It's guarded by us. The house of Yahweh from the top, from the bottom to the top. It's perfect and will make all people perfect who choose it, who choose to follow it. Moshe was given the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. He did not train. People thought he went to Egypt and trained these people. And they were following Yahweh's laws before he went there, and that's the reason that he learned all this, because he was following the laws. Moshe actually committed murder. Does that sound like that, that he was following the laws? Moshe was the chosen vessel to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Before he could lead them out of Egypt, he had to be taken out of Egypt himself. He had to train 40 years learning the laws of Yahweh. Now, that wasn't training the 12 tribes in Israel. It was just training Moshe. Moshe and Aaron, of course, and who was always his companion and studying with him. But 40 years later, Yahweh sent him back into Egypt to get the Coptic Catholic religion and bring them out, promising them honey and milk and honey, a land flowing with milk and honey, which they took to be, of course, riches that have their own land. Is like the popes in the Crusades. They said, stop fighting each other, come join the Pope, and go on this crusade. We'll kill these people, take their land and all their wealth that they have accumulated, will divide it among themselves. You'll be rich. It'll take you the rest of your life to spend all the wealth that we will get on this one crusade of murder. Well, that's what they had in their minds. They were going to take all of this land easily, easily and probably not losing any soldiers. Well, they would have, of course, if they had turned to Yahweh and repented and converted. The problem is they didn't turn to Yahweh. They didn't repent. They didn't convert. In fact, they openly rebelled against Yahweh. If you'll just read the scriptures and see what it tells you. I'm telling you that they did not repent. That's what your Bible says. Even the King James Version shows this. I knew this years and years ago. Yahweh brought me up on the scriptures, and I've told you this many, many times. My mother, every night, insisted on it. Every night. I can't remember very few nights. Maybe someone was sick or something that we didn't, but it was a natural thing. And when the Brush Arbor meetings came to that location and preachers started coming in, Mother was used, her and Dad, but mostly Mother, and they would ask us children after we went to a Brush Arbor meeting, hearing these Baptists and Methodists and whatever they were at that time, she would ask, "Did you hear the preacher say this?" And, "Yes, Mother." We didn't, but, you know, she'd repeat it. And then she'd say, "Well, I want to show you what the scripture says." And of course, when you're trained like that, you start looking to see what the scripture really says. Well, anyone, if you just read the Holy Scriptures, you'll see Moshe had to train for 40 years. Yahweh sent him back into Egypt then to get this bunch of stiff-necked, rebellious people that were following a religion of wealth that brought forth wealth. And all of their holidays was based on getting people to spend money, getting people trapped into following the beastly system, holding them in the beastly system. If they quit their job and left, they took nothing with them. You know, they had a hold on them. This 175 countries or states that signed this petition with the Pope, there's no telling what they signed away there, but I can tell you for sure now, if they don't obey the Vatican, like Revelation shows that she's the leader of the kings of the earth, the city that sits on seven hills, Revelation's the last, Revelation 17, the last verse of that chapter plainly tells you that this is a city. Verse 9 says it sits on seven hills, and it's over, it reigns over multitudes, nations, and tongues. Nations and languages. If you remember, Yahweh divided the people by dividing their language back in the days when the Nimrod school of training first came out, which was school set up to bring people in, train them for jobs, not for righteousness, but for jobs. And of course, the land at that time was of one language, and they intended to make this one organization, one religion. That's the way they had it. And of course, the terrorizing the people was what convinced them to follow these rules right here, not the rules of Yahweh, but the rules of the Catholic Church, the Coptic Catholic Church, in fact. The same thing that's taught today in Rome and in Egypt. Few people know it, but it's taught in Russia. It's taught in Germany. It's taught throughout the world. And they had this all set up under the fourth beast, the great fourth beast of Daniel 7. All of this was set up because they built the strongest army. And they went out and took the villages. They roamed. It was a roaming army, a roving army. A roving army that searched out the lambs, captured the villagers and the villagers. It would murder those who would not submit, take the others into captivity, and this is how they built their tower. Their tower. That's Genesis 10. They built the tower. This great tower that, of course, it reaches the demons in heaven, and the demons are glad to play with them, that's all they are, is toys in their hands. They have no love for them in any way. But Satan, of course, is using the demons to destroy mankind to keep him from coming to the great kingdom that Yahweh has promised them, which is the kingdom of Yahweh. On the whole earth today, for the whole earth today, this group in this building right here is the light of the world. Yes, the light of the world, the whole world. It's bringing the light of Yahweh that was promised in Genesis. It's bringing that light of salvation, how to have salvation. It's bringing that to the people now. It hasn't been taught. This hasn't been taught in this way since the world began. This is the finishing work of Yahweh with Yahshua, the proven righteous being, mankind from mankind, that actually proved that man can live without sin. He's what our children are going to be in the kingdom. There's not going to be any sin in the kingdom. Every child born is going to be one like Yahshua, who will live totally without sin. And we will take over this whole universe, which if you look out there and see it, this will take billions of years. Billions. Because those nations are going to keep going. The planets are going to keep going. And we're going to keep bringing peace to them and spreading. That's our job and will be our job. And we're training for it now. If you choose the peaceful solution, you will be a part of that training that will go on forever. You'll have the most abundant life that you could ever think of, as Yahshua described it, but also as described by the prophets, several of the prophets, in little bitty bits and pieces. Well, anyway, Yahshua is the way, and he guards this way to the tree of life. The way to the tree of life, the character of mankind, it's Yahweh's plan, and how he would finish it in Genesis 1:26, I will make man in my image. So far, Yahshua is the only one that's qualified, and he sits at the right hand of Yahweh, and he's high priest over the last day's house of Yahweh. He wasn't high priest over all those other houses. He wasn't high priest over all those other works. Who was the high priest? Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, which were the Coptic religion that came straight out of Egypt, would not repent, would not convert. They took the temple. There was a time before Yahshua was born that the temple was actually, there's some light there. That is the house of Yahweh. There was light in that house brought down from Noah's sons and daughters, that one generation, and some of the genes, of course, brought down to Galilee. Zebulon was the only one that saw the light. Remember? Zebulon, he saw the light, meaning the peaceful solution character education program. He understood it. And Zebulon lived by it, and therefore Yahshua was born of that breeding, that teaching of the peaceful solution. Well, in Genesis 2, verse 9, we see two trees here. Two trees. Yahshua showed you what trees was in Matthew the 7th chapter, if you remember. Matthew 7, where he said, where he said the one that doesn't bring forth righteousness, Yeshua himself said this, it's going to be cast into the fire. The trees, the tree that is leader of the religions of the earth is the Catholic religion. It started with the Nimrod system that forced people to rebel or go against Yahweh's way of peace. It forced them. Yeah. And they got to seeing, well, we've got to build an army to defend ourselves. Well, see, they gave right into their hands. They could have stood up for righteousness, then they would have been assigned a place in the kingdom. That is, they would have qualified for it. They would have qualified. They wouldn't have made it. None of them have made it. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob. They have not made it, and they won't make it without you. That's what the scripture says. You are the finishing of Yahweh's plan. You are the ones that will put back the pieces together, and they will be righteous forever. Well, he set two trees. One brings forth evil. That covers every tree. You break one law, as King James Version, James. James, or his name was Yaakov. Why did they change that? Well, that was the mighty Catholic Church that changed and got everyone to worshiping gods. All those changes of names got people to worshiping gods, not Yahweh. James said, if you break one commandment, you are guilty of breaking all the commandment. And then he especially named murder and adultery. If you commit murder, you're following Satan. If you commit war, if you live by the sword, you're following Satan. You're not following Yahshua's example. Can you find where he ever got angry or hateful with anyone? He continually taught them the truth. And he actually went to them. I went to my own. Yahweh sent me to my own, and my own refused me. Where was his own that he was talking about? His brothers and his sisters was in the temple with the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. And one of the high priests said, are not his brothers and sisters all here with us? Who does he think he is? Remember all that? These are things that Yahweh has shown you in the scriptures that most people just overlook. They don't pay any attention to anything they read. It's just a storybook thing to them. The only way that one can come to me, Yeshua said, I can say the same thing. I'm the one sent today. The only way that anyone can come to Yeshua is through the one he sends. And he must be drawn by the Spirit of Yahweh. Well, they think of Casper the Friendly Ghost when they put Holy Ghost there. You've got to be grown by the Holy Ghost. And then Hollywood paints them a picture of the ghost. So their minds are in a confused state all the time they're alive on earth today. They're born with it. They're born with this confusion. It's come down, as Genesis 49 showed. It's come down, this whole confused religious mess. Well, the Nimrod system, it showed war. Terrorism is the way to get them in. That's the way the Catholic Church, the fourth beast, that's the way it outgrew every other army. They promised them milk and honey. They promised them wealth, much wealth. Those that would not convert, they simply slaughtered them. They fed them to the pigs. Circe, who owned the pigs, fed the pigs back to the people. That's the evil mess that is painted in mythology today, and no one even knows what they're talking about. Circe is where you get the word church. They sell them to the pigs, and the pigs confuse their brain. They eat the pigs, and that's the reason that the prophet Isaiah said they assemble, they worship the dead. They eat pig's meat. They follow the priest who eats pig's meat. Why did he put those two things together there? He put it together to show you the confused mind. The Muslims do not believe in war, but they think they're forced into war. That's the way all of these colonies did in the days of Yahshua, when they were trying to control the people in Israel by the mighty army they had set up in Rome. Remember, they had a roving army. That roving army the Pharisees was using to take care of the huge problem they had in the land of Israel. The people knew bits and pieces of the scriptures that had been put out by the prophet. They didn't want to fall under this sinful mess that Yahshua himself painted when he was alive. Before he died, his word went out in the land of Israel. And he said, "I am the one sent by Yahweh. Don't think I've come to change the laws," he said. "I'm not come to change the laws." Well, that went out to the world. They knew the Pharisees had changed the law. And this was the biggest argument they were having in Israel, in Jerusalem at that time. Because Yochanan, he came from Galilee. That's where the house of Yahweh was. It never changed, as Yahweh showed. And as the story is told in Acts so clearly, if you just read it, Acts the 7th chapter, where Stephen, knowing the scripture, said, "You stiff-necked and rebellious people, which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted?" They persecuted those who wanted to live by Yahweh's laws. And when Yochanan came and said, "It's not right for you to have your brother's wife," he's speaking to one of their kings. Kings of Israel. People think, well, these were Hebrews and they were controlled by Romans. And this is as deep as their thinking goes. The Romans were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Hebrews, the Israelites. They were. They came out of Egypt. And they formed a huge army. The villages wanted to stay independent and didn't want to worship the Nimrod system, didn't want to fall under the Nimrod system. They were killed, taken captive, and so forth. They formed their own armies. Some of them got to be some pretty big armies. But the little horn combined the greatest strength there of four different ones, combined it, and created a huge army, a roving army, that was already in operation. That roving army had been operating for years. In Acts, we're shown a little bit of it. And the apostle Shaul, before he was converted, he was a Roman soldier. He was a Roman soldier. He'd never been to Rome now. I want to get this in your mind again. The apostle Shaul had never been to Rome. He was born and trained in the army under Gamaliel, who trained him in the laws of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, which was nothing more than the Coptic religion. They did not keep the laws. In fact, they twisted the laws. They replaced the laws. As Yahshua, if you pay attention to what he said, you do away with the laws of Yahweh with your traditions. You make void the laws of Yahweh by your tradition. You turn heaven and hell to make one convert, and you make him worse than Satan himself. Well, that's what they were doing. They forced them They actually forced these people into this rebellious worship. Well, the villages, they were forming armies too, and they were combining their armies to try to survive. They thought they had to fight wars. When they went to Samuel and said, "We want kings to fight for us," Yahweh showed that he would take care of them. In the very chapter before that, that's chapter 8, chapter 7, Yahweh showed, "I'll take care of you if you will just get away from this God worship. But if you turn to this God worship, you cut yourself off from me." So he says, "Get away from this and I'll take care of you." He drove the armies back, brought back the Ark of the Covenant to the people, gave it to them. 28 years later, 38 years later, chapter 8, they turned from him again, said, "We want some kings to fight our wars for us." There's wanting to go to war. What for? The apostle Jacob, James, said, "Why do you want war? To fulfill your lust." If read that and believe it, and you'll see why they were wanting wars. Here's a village over here that's got a lot of wealth that we could take right now. And this is what the Pope was promising. The popes that led the Crusades. "Quit fighting among yourselves and follow me, and we will take all of this wealth away from these people, and you will have it, you'll have enough wealth to last you the rest of your life. We'll divide it with you." Well, of course, Shaul, he was a Roman soldier. Two things is a great lesson there. One, Yahweh can call anyone he wants to. He can inspire that man to be righteous. And that's what has to take place according to his laws. It's got to be done by his spirit. What is his spirit? Yochanan 6:63. It's not Casper the friendly ghost. It's Yahweh's laws. The flesh is nothing. Your fleshly teachings are nothing. Your automobiles are nothing. Your airplanes and rockets are nothing. What is something is the mind that is controlled by Yahweh's righteous laws. And that is what's going to survive, your righteousness. And that's the light of the world that's going forth from us today. Genesis, I got to get one more scripture in. Maybe I didn't even get any scriptures in. Moshe, if you'll turn over to Moshe, remember there's two trees. Two trees. Now, Yahweh has prophesied his moves, his every move. You don't even have to guess about it. If you'll just read, you'll see how he brings forth a work. Zebulon will see the light. That is a prophecy about Zebulon, the tribe. Zebulon even tells where they're going to be located before they ever go there. Before the land is divided, Yahweh tells you where Zebulon is going to be. Before the land is divided. And lo and behold, when the lots fell, I brought all this out in detail so you could look on the Israel Says program, pull it up, and in 44 seconds or less. That's right, 44 seconds or less. May take 60 seconds, but it'll appear. And you got the full study there. Well, here in Genesis 2 and verse 9, I said Amos, didn't I? Moshe. Stay with Moshe. In Genesis 2 and verse 9, he said, he gives two trees. One of them is a righteous tree. Yeshua is the only one, the only teacher that brought that forth. And he was trained, bred, born from the tribe of Zebulon. This man came forth. Zebulon saw the light. This was a work of Yahweh that was prophesied. It is actually prophesied. Well, here there was two works prophesied in the beginning. Two works, a righteous work, but not constant. Yahweh said, now, here's the tree. And then later he shows that he would have these works, starting with Abraham's seed, because Abraham would teach them the law, he said. Well, out of Abraham's seed, we found Moshe, who was the retriever, or who was retrieved. And these little things and bits of pieces, Yahweh shows you who was sent. He first was born in Egypt, then he was hidden. Yahweh protected. Yahweh was in full control, wasn't he? 100% control, as he is today in today's house. Here in Amosha, in verse chapter 3, he says, hear the word which Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now, Moshe was actually prophesying to the 12 tribes who couldn't care less about Yahweh. They were God worshipers. They were the Coptic Catholic religion. Coptic means Egypt, of course. So they were the Egyptian Catholic. Like today you have Rome, you have the Roman Catholic. This is just a split off, but they're all still working together. They're not fighting against each other. The Coptic Catholics are also filling Russia, Germany, Greece, all of these nations. If you look up the word, let me give you a word to look up. Synagogue. Look up synagogue, and you can see how the 12 tribes of Israel spread throughout these, what we call nations today. What makes a nation? A language. A language made the nation. It started out with a village. And they created their own language, and they changed their own language and added to it, just like America. Just like the American language. And the history of how that language changed, of course. Well, that made your language. The Greeks were nothing more than Hebrews. They were Israelites. And if you read the history about them, you can see that that's what they were. And of course, they were controlled by Rome, of course. And Rome took them over. It even gives the history of when the Roman soldiers, they gave in to them. Rather than fight them, they gave in to them and took the same religion, same culture. Okay, he says, you only, verse 2, you only. You get that? When Yahshua told his disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Well, the King James Version called a bunch of these people Gentiles. Well, what does the word Gentile mean? Well, they didn't know. Most people don't know what it means today even. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will judge you. I will judge you for all your iniquities. Iniquity means doing away with Yahweh's laws. You find the word iniquity and sin in the same sentence. Your iniquities and your sins. Iniquity is doing away with the law. Sin is breaking the law. Iniquity is not teaching it or ignoring it or teaching as the Catholic Church does, that you can change it, which they have. All of those words fall under the word iniquity, where the word sin is actually violating. They talked you into keeping Sunday instead of Sabbath. They talked you into sinning. That's breaking a law of Yahweh. Most people don't even know that Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday's the first day of the week. No, that's a great light that goes off in the head when you finally wake up to the fact that Sunday is the first day of the week. Well, what's the seventh day of the week? What's this command that says, keep holy the seventh day of the week? I'm going to meet with you on the seventh day of the week. I'm going to have my appointment with you on the seventh day of every week. If you keep this day, you'll know it's me that separated you from the world. Do you get that? That's what Yahweh says. If you keep my seventh day, Sabbath, instead of this first day God worship, you'll know that it's me, Yahweh, who did it. Not Satan the devil, but me. Satan the devil is not going to teach you to keep the seventh day Sabbath holy. If you keep the seventh day Sabbath holy, as Yahshua did, you'll have to go to the house of Yahweh to do it. No one can draw you. I mean, no one can come to the house of Yahweh unless the Spirit, the laws of Yahweh, he says, I've got to do this. He doesn't realize that that's coming straight from Yahweh. And it's Yahweh separating him from the world, bringing him to the house where he starts meeting with him on the feast days. Yes, don't let anyone deny you of this, or you'll let them deny you of eternal life. Colossians 2. Can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Can the tree of Satan the devil and the tree of righteousness walk together? No. No way. Because they believe in war and fighting. We believe in total peace. Total peace, Yahweh in control. That is what we believe and follow. No, we don't fight. We don't have revenge. We don't have hatred. We love our neighbors. We even love the enemies. The world, we are the most hated of anyone in the world. The Pope is, and the Vatican is the most loved. I just read you that this 175 states sets a record of allegiance to the Vatican that sits on the seven hills of Rome, shown in Revelations, the 17th chapter. Read it for yourself. She's the leader of the kings of the earth. Can you deny that? How did he know that she would be the leaders of the kings of the earth in this time period when Yahshua is going to come? That's what Revelations is. Show you the things that will shortly come to pass before I come. Yahshua Messiah. Yes. Will a lion roar in the forest unless he has prey? Will a lion make his voice sound from his den unless he has taken something? Can a bird fall into a snare on the ground unless a trap has been laid for him? Does a trap spring up from the earth unless something has sprung it? Will a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Well, of course, what he's speaking of is the history that was going on right there and going on constantly. They were constantly taking these villages. The Roman soldiers, as is shown, that the Apostle Shaul was one. Where he went to a village, he would ravish men, women, and children, take them captive or murder them. This was the Apostle Shaul. And Yahweh said, you're going to work for me from now on. And the man did an excellent work. Not as great as what we have done. I've told you, we've put out more works than all the priests, all the prophets, and the apostles put together in this time period. And that's something we can boast about. That's going to be history throughout all eternity. They'll never be able to top us. They did their part. We've done ours. But we couldn't have made it without them. We took their work that Yahweh inspired them to do, and from that we have built the greatest work that was prophesied that we would do, but it's the greatest work in history, going to bring the greatest gathering of any work before us, greater than Moshe and Aaron. And this time, the ones that's gathered is actually going to be in unity with Yahweh. And they will learn more, no more. Learn more. Remember, he says they'll learn more, no more. War is what drug them into this thing. You can't live in the world as a nation in peace. You can't live separately. Surely you can see the sanctions that's being brought against the nations who want to live separately. They don't want the West religion in their country. That's what the fight was about. We don't want the West. Did you know Israel, when we first started working with the land Israel, the nation Israel, the guides there, the same guides that took us up to the Golan Heights, by the way, which they were at that time even settling. They took us up there, fed us. We visited, they took us to one of their restaurants, and we ate there that evening, working awfully late. In fact, we started before daylight, and it was way after dark before we left the Golan Heights and came back to Tel Aviv. But they told us constantly, they knew what we taught. And they said, we don't want our children practicing the ways of the West. Well, this was so for several years, I heard that thing, in Israel. And they had shows on televisions. They were educational movies. And, of course, if you were used to watching the worldly shows here in the West, and you go to Israel, you'd turn the television off. You know, you wouldn't even want to watch what they were showing on the televisions there in Israel. But at that time, they were fighting against the religion that we're practicing here in the West. Hollywood brought forth vividly from Hollywood. Will a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity flourish for the religious impostors be taking place in a city, and Yahweh not also have a righteous work there? Now read the next verse and believe it. Yahweh has prophesied seven works. He gave this prophecy to Moshe with the seven lampstand. There won't be any more. That's it. This last work will continue forever. The Western light. Yes, it was actually formed in the West under the deepest sins. The greatest pulls of Satan is in this generation. And it was brought forth here in this town where it's the Bible belt, it's the buckle on the Bible's belt, Abilene is. Three major universities here. And it was brought forth here. Been hated ever since it was established, fought against, but is still here, right? We haven't changed. And the lawyers told us, change your name. Change your name to the House of God, and you won't be having these problems. The lawyers told us that. Well, of course, we said no thank you. Most assuredly, Amosha 3, verse 7, most assuredly, Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. It's a beautiful thing when you see that Yahweh has prophesied our every move, and you can be a part of it. You can be a part of that work, this work. Just by starting to keep your appointments with Yahweh. That's how it started. Read Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Also read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, which says, sin separates you from Yahweh. It cuts you off from Yahweh. The only way you can be heard by Yahweh is to repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. That's in Acts 3 and verse 19. 3 and verse 19, repent. Don't just repent, though. Don't repent of the same sins every week. Make up your mind that you're going to stop the sinning. Yahshua is our high priest because he hated unrighteousness. He hated sin. He died for sin. He died so he could give you a chance to at a second thing with Yahweh, where Yahweh would actually take you and start framing you into an instrument that he could use, as he told Cain. If you perform righteousness, will you not be acceptable? But you've got to. He said, otherwise sin is going to lie at your door, and unless you overcome it, unless you convert, then you will not be acceptable for this kingdom. Yeshua, our high priest, is actually guarding that. He's got a big sword in these last days. It's a big sword. Now, Satan has a big sword, too, and it shows this. And Satan is also guarding the way to keep you from going to the house of Yahweh. That's her job. Yeshua's job is to guard the way and make sure you don't have life unless you repent and are converted. Now, that's his job as high priest. So you have swords turned in every direction guarding you from life eternal unless you repent and be converted. I love you very much, brothers and sisters.
We love you, Pastor.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.